Welcome to True Worldview, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical perspective. This is your place for intelligent conversation on ultimate questions and the relevant issues of our day. Here are your hosts, Christy Johnson and Dr. Paul Dean.
Welcome to True Worldview. Christy, we've got some big issues to bat around today.
Yeah, we do. I think we're talking about divorce and marriage.
Yeah. I mean, are there bigger issues than that?
Well, I'm sure there are, but it's a pretty big one.
Came across a piece recently in The Atlantic, and it's entitled The Not-So-Great Reason Divorce Rates Are Down. Past 10 years, the percentage of American marriages that end in divorce has fallen. University of Maryland sociologist Philip Cohen quantified the drop-off. In that 10-year period, the divorce rate declined by 18% overall.
Wow. I mean, at first listen, that sounds like a pretty good thing. 18%. Yeah. Those are good numbers.
Yeah. Good numbers. Cause we hate, God hates divorce. And so that's a good thing. Yeah. Well, they asked Andrew Cherlin, sociology professor at Johns Hopkins University, about this. And he has something interesting to say. He said, in order to get divorced, you have to get married first.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think he's implying that maybe less people are, you know, getting married, and that's why the divorce rate is declining. And, of course, we know that people are waiting to get married in our culture. A few years ago, there was a big piece somewhere, and everybody was talking about it. But, I mean, it's actually true. But, you know, we see the infantilization of our culture, especially men. You know, you've even got that movie that came out a few years ago, Failure to Launch or whatever. But men, you know, they're putting off marriage. I think the average age that a man gets married today is 29 years old. 20 years ago, I think it was 26. 20 years before that, it was 22. And obviously, it's not just the men, but nevertheless, people are putting marriage off.
Yeah, I remember as a college student, we would talk about this really often, how a lot of us young single girls, we were ready to get married and we were, you know, waiting for the man of our dreams to come and sweep us off our feet. But it seemed like the men were just kind of beating around the bush. But also I think that as I've gotten out of college and gotten into the workforce a little bit, and granted, I went to a Christian university, so my experience was a little bit different. But now I think that even women are putting off marriage because of their careers or their dreams, which careers and dreams are not necessarily a bad thing, obviously. I am a small business owner, and I have seen on Instagram, you know, one thing that goes around are hashtags, and we have hashtag boss babe, and that's a really popular hashtag to use because they're promoting strong women and female entrepreneurs. But sometimes even the prevalence of that hashtag and those ideas leaves me even feeling a little bit empty, because sometimes I see in media a strong woman is portrayed as someone who is successful. And sometimes I feel like, well, what if my business is not successful, and then I feel empty? And we're kind of seeing that just the idea of, oh, you need to follow your dreams. That's just what women are led to believe is the most important thing in life.
Hmm. Yeah, I wanted to probe some of that just a little bit. I mean, you know, you go to Proverbs 31. Everybody in the Christian world talks about that Proverbs 31 woman, how she takes care of her home and certainly God calls her to do that, and her husband, her kids, and all that. But she's not a wallflower. I mean, this is a pretty strong woman, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. And I think in the, I haven't read it in quite a while, but I think it talks about her, you know, purchasing some real estate and, you know, reselling it at a profit. And so, you know, she goes and sells stuff as well as a lot of other things. So, yeah, I think on the one hand, it's fair to say that, you know, and let's just talk about the married woman for a moment. It's fair to say that a married woman can have some, you know, the phrase today, a side hustle.
Yeah.
You know, and if she's got kids. But, and like you say, you're a photographer, and so you're able to take care of your husband and, You've got this photography business as well, and you guys are pretty balanced. But, you know, if you had four children, let me just ask you that. Do you think you could, say, be a manager at a, I don't know, at a mortgage company or something like that if you've got four kids? I know people are going to hate me for raising that and the implication. I'm just trying to be biblical in my worldview here.
Well, I mean, yeah, personally, if I had four kids, I would want to spend as much time with them as possible. And it's interesting that you bring up kids because, one thing I see now a lot is not just, you know, we want to follow our dreams, but I do see a lot of small business owners and even large business owners who are women, but also have families. And so I see women being moms and entrepreneurs, and they're saying, look, you can have it all, because they recognize that being a mom and having a family is important. But sometimes I wonder, well, at what cost? Because the people that I see that coming from is honestly those who are ultra successful, those who have lots of money to outsource many, many parts of their business. And so they've already kind of climbed that ladder and gotten to a point in their life where they're older. I think we're going to talk more about that later on in this podcast, where they've maybe have their husband, lots of income coming in from their husband, where they can pay for lots of things in their business to run automatically and spend time with their kids. But what about the people who are just starting out? It seems kind of seems unattainable.
Well, no, and I think that's true. And what I would say is, you know, I don't want to misrepresent the biblical view.
Right.
You know, God says that men and women are spiritually equal. That's for sure. And a man is not complete without his wife and vice versa. But they do have different roles. And, you know, if you already have this successful career, you get married later in God's providence, and we'll leave it there for a moment. You may be able to do a lot more than some other woman, or you may have the kind of career that, you can handle from home, or, you know, you're your own boss, as in your case, you're a photographer. But, you know, part of the reason, it's not just that we're saying, okay, men work, women don't, you know, it's not women, they need to be barefoot, pregnant, and in the kitchen, you know, that kind of thing. The reality is, I mean, and again, we're kind of getting off on a tangent, but that's okay. But like, if you have children and you have a career, you know, people say, well, you can do it all. Well, from a biblical perspective, you'd have to farm your children out. You'd have to send them to school, or you have to send them to daycare. And essentially what you're doing, because you're talking 6-7 hours a day, 5 days a week, 9 months out of the year, you're actually letting someone else raise your kids, and that is a huge problem from a biblical perspective, because they're being taught things that you don't know. And our responsibility as parents is to train our children up in the way they should go. We are supposed to be the primary influence in their lives, because we're the only ones who are really going to teach them a biblical worldview, the only ones who really care about them. And you know, we could get off on that. I'm just making a point. There's a very practical reason that somebody's got to be involved in those kids' lives, and somebody's got to bring home the bacon.
Right.
And God calls couples together. Go ahead.
Right. And I think exactly God calls couples together to be working together to raise their families. And I think one of the reasons that marriage is declining is because we want to have our dreams and we want to pursue our careers, but God calls us to have our dreams be reformed or conformed to what He wants us to do. Proverbs 37, is that what it says? Where it says, or Psalm 37, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart.
Yeah.
But I think what it's actually saying is delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart, because your desire will be to please the Lord and to follow God. You'll be delighting in the Lord, and that will be your dream.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I don't want to get too far afield here, but I'm going to, I'm just going to go down this road a little bit further, and then maybe we'll come back. But you've already given the answer, and I know what I would say, but I just want to put it in these terms. Generally speaking, all right, and I'm qualifying it. Generally speaking, do you think it's a biblical thing to delay marriage and family so that you can pursue a career? In other words, that is your intent. You're saying, all right, I have just decided I'm going to pursue a career and I'm going to delay those things because of our cultural influence. You think that's a biblical
thing? You know, I am a small business owner, so I love it when women are pursuing their dreams, but I don't think that it is biblical to delay marriage because of your career. I mean, because is that not selfish? But you're saying I'm going to do what I want and then I'll think about my kids. But God calls us to be selfless, and there's a difference in using your gifts to bless other people or to work where God has called you and to follow his calling on your life. There's a difference between that and saying, I'm going to do whatever it takes to build my career.
Right. No, I think you're right. And there's some people, men and women, who are called to celibacy or singleness, mm-hmm. you know, and the primary reason if you're called to that is so you can be better. You spend more time focusing on advancing the gospel, advancing the kingdom. But I think, you know, a lot of Christians, they just think, well, because they're so influenced by our culture, we all are. I mean, I am to a large degree, whether I realize it or not in some areas. But I think we have to think in worldview categories. What is God's purpose for human beings? What is God's purpose
right.
for marriage?
Absolutely.
And obviously the vast majority of human beings are called to get married, and they're called to take dominion over the earth and subdue it and have children and raise godly offspring so that the kingdom can advance in the earth. And, you know, you can't do that if all the Christians are delaying marriage. You know, you're going to have less children. And that just brings up another issue. In some Western countries, and the United States is getting very, very close, but Christians, they're not having enough children to replace themselves.
Yeah, isn't it that one of the reasons that we see Muslim cultures and Islam and these other cultures and religions growing so much is because they're having a lot more children than the Christians are. And
yeah.
I really do think that one of the main things that God uses to advance the gospel is family. And because it's natural if you're a Christian to teach your children the things of God. And that's an amazing way to spread the gospel and to even have that legacy of your children and then their children and then their grandchildren being raised in Christian homes. I mean, that's an amazing thing. And you see that these other cultures are doing it and they're teaching their kids their values, but the Christians and others are not having large families anymore. I'm not saying that large families are
right.
what everyone needs to have. I'm just saying there is a decline because we don't want to be inconvenienced. We don't want to be put out. We don't want to do something too hard. We want to follow our dreams and our desires.
Yeah, that's the influence of the flesh, certainly the influence of the world, particularly these days when we have so many options. And you know what? There is Christian liberty. And, you know, mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, somebody listening to us might say, well, what about Christian liberty? Well, there is Christian liberty. We're not legalists. But at the
Absolutely.
Same time, yeah, but at the same time, Christian liberty doesn't mean you live life faultlessly. You know what I mean? It doesn't mean that you can just live your life and do whatever you want. It means that you have, you know, options. I'm not saying that if you don't get married until you're 30 that you're absolutely in sin. But what I am saying is, as a Christian, you have the responsibility to search the scriptures and ask God and try to figure out what it is that would most glorify God rather than just say, hey, man, I like my life right now. I'm not even going to worry about it. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, Absolutely. And honestly, that's something that I do a lot. I've been married for a couple of years and, you know, the time has kind of come to maybe start thinking about having kids. And I do this a lot where I will evaluate myself and say, okay, what am I pursuing right now? Am I pursuing my business because I want to make more money, because I want to be successful, or because I want this or that? Or am I really honoring God right now? And I think all of us have to examine our hearts and say, what is God's definition of success? Hmm. What is God's definition of happiness? And what is truly going to bring joy to your life? You know, when you're 80 years old and you look back on your life, do you want to say, well, I've made this much money, I had this many clients, I put my kids in this daycare, and I didn't spend, you know, all this time with them? Or do you want to look back and see a life that is really, truly lived for God's glory, where you've spent time with your husband and you've spent time with your kids and you've spent time with your grandkids and you've trained them in to follow God's word? And we all have a responsibility to say, what am I pursuing? Yes, I have this passion that I want to pursue, but what does God want me to do? How can I use that passion for his glory and not put myself at the center of it, but put God at the center of it?
Yeah, that's exactly right. 100%. And the answer may be, I mean, you've got a friend, she's like 30 something and she pours her life into other kids.
Absolutely.
And she teaches kids for the glory of God, right?
Absolutely. And even my piano teacher that I had in college, she did the same thing. She was, older, and she had never been married, and her career was her calling, because if she was married, she really would not have been able to pour into her students' lives. But it's not that she delayed marriage, it's that God had this call on her life to serve her students, and I felt that in my life.
Yeah, and that's tremendous. I think, you know, I want to wrap this up in a couple of minutes, and there's so many things that spin off of this. We probably want to continue this discussion maybe in another episode.
Yeah, that sounds great. I think there's more reasons that marriage is declining that we haven't even talked about yet.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, you've got our culture, right? You know, sexual promiscuity, for example, that's the new normal. You know, there's a difference between ethics and morals. Ethics, for example, that's talking about what ought to be. You know, what is your what is ethical, what is right, what is wrong, and then morals more describe what is. You understand what I'm saying? So, you know, you hope that your morals are driven by ethics, but so often they're not. The morals of a culture change, and so it used to be in our culture, sex before marriage was regarded as evil, and if a girl slept around, she was regarded as, you know, not so nice.
Right.
But now, it's okay to sleep around, right?
It's normal.
It's normal, and so it's not immoral, right? I mean, that's our culture. And so why get married if you can sleep around, especially if you're a man? I mean, that's just the way men are, who are not saved.
That's true. And I don't think it's just men. I mean, even when I'm scrolling on my Facebook feed, I see lots of ads for contraception that are geared towards women, and they're pretty frank. And I don't really want to hear that stuff on my social media feed. And it's really, our entire culture is promoting the idea of it's normal to do this.
Yeah. So I think maybe, you know, we can say that's certainly an unbiblical stance in our culture, and we Christians need to be better at promoting a sexual ethic that is glorifying to God, it's better for human beings, better for society, but we can't divorce it from the gospel. So maybe we'll dive in there next time. What do you think?
Sounds great. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to True Worldview, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical perspective. To access archived broadcasts, go to trueworldview.net, where you'll find other helpful resources as well. Thanks for listening, and join us next time on True Worldview. And the gospel.